Continue our journey through the book of James. And I often like to start a sermon by asking a question. Who here has ever felt judged by someone in their lives? Maybe you should see a show of hands. Who here has ever felt judged by someone else in your life? Okay, pretty much everyone. You know, how did it feel? You know, what was your response? And then on the flip side, usually we think about how we have kind of incurred wrong from someone else. But question, have you ever judged someone else and you were the judger? Is there room for judgment, especially within the church, within a group of believers, within the family of Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ? James has been tackling all sorts of matters within the relationships between people who are professing to be believers of Jesus Christ. And we've seen that James has pointed out again and again that it's not simply behavioral change that's required, but that for the believer of Jesus Christ, there is a reality that we must depend on God to change what's on the inside. That we're not just people who become very polished outwardly, externally, in how we relate to each other, but that through actual change, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that you and I ought to have heart change, because at the end of the day, all of the conflict, all of the tension, all of the wrong against one another is a picture of a problem that's inside. Inside of our hearts, because we have sin. Inside of our hearts, because we have pride. Inside of our hearts, because we oftentimes, all too often, want to make life about ourselves rather than the God that we have called Lord and Master. And today, we're going to talk about the one true judge. And yes, the right answer is that it's God. And we're going to see how this interacts with when we find ourselves judging others, but also when we are being judged ourselves. If you look with me in James chapter 4, we're going to just look at two verses. And we're going to take a lot from these two verses. And I hope that you will really be able to appreciate how much James kind of packs into just very simple words and verses. So let's look at verses 11 and 12 together. Okay, this is the word of God. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the one true lawgiver and judge. And we thank you, God, that you have the power to save and to destroy, but that we can trust that you are righteous, we can trust that you are good, and that by your grace, those of us here who know you and have faith in you, a relationship with you through Christ, we know that we have been saved. Not by our own might, not by our own merit or hard work, but simply by your grace through the work of Jesus Christ upon the cross and his death and resurrection. So as we seek to understand who you are, as we grow in knowing who you are, may you work in our hearts. And God, would you convict our hearts today that we would not be those who judge one another and try to elevate ourselves over anyone else, but God, that always we would want to glorify you in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what is it about being judged that we dislike so much? What is it about the feeling of someone judging us that we despise, that we try to avoid, that we don't like to deal with? Oftentimes, when we are judged, the reason that we don't like it is because we're made to feel like we're less valuable in some way. We're made to feel like lesser than the one who is judging us. Oftentimes, that's what judging others does. It elevates one and it kind of puts someone else down. That's what judging one another does. And we're told in today's world that actually you shouldn't display your weakness. You need to show your best foot forward. You need to make sure that you have a polished image of yourself so that others may look to you and say, wow, that person has it all together. Or, wow, that person is great. There's a lot of emphasis on that in the world, that you ought to take care of your stuff, but when you present yourself before others, you know, don't show weakness, because then they all attack. Don't show struggle. Don't show anything that might cause someone to look down on you in some way. And so we get really good at that. We get really good at finding ways to not be judged by others. And sadly, within the church, we're on the other side oftentimes, where because we feel like we have it more together, we look outwardly and we become the ones who judge and put others down and try to elevate ourselves up. And God's been telling us through the Word in the book of James that there is no room for that within the body of Christ. There's no room for people elevating themselves above other brothers and sisters in Christ, or putting other brothers and sisters in Christ down so that you could be elevated. We cannot have that. And James is confronting that reality, that something is going on within the Christian community that James is writing to. And he's trying to guide them. He's trying to remind them who they are in Christ, and saying, we must be people who are not judging one another and elevating one and pushing the other down, but instead elevating God's name and glorifying Him in the things that we do. And I believe that's what God wants to do in our lives and in our church. He doesn't want us to be putting people down or even raising certain people up, but just together, that the main goal as we try to glorify God together is that we be building each other up as a church. That's what we're called to do, to build each other up, to help us to see God more clearly, to encourage one another to grow in our relationship with God. And when we're busy judging one another, we lose that, because our focus gets taken off of the God that we serve. And again, James making it ever so clear, it's not just an external matter. Remember when we talked about the idea of words, right? Be cautious with your words, be kind with your words, be loving with your words. And we all agreed together that simply being silent, it might remedy not ever saying something negative towards someone, but it doesn't remedy what's in the heart. And in the same way, not judging someone else doesn't just mean, hey, I'm not going to say something to this person or put them down, but it's still a heart issue. If you are judging someone in your heart, God still cares about that. Actually, He cares about that more, because that's what He wants. He wants you, your whole self, not just outwardly, but internally. And only God, the true judge, can remedy that heart issue that we have. So we're just going to have 2 points together today. The first is this: discern biblically. Okay? Discern biblically. And the second point that we're going to have together today is depend on the true judge. Depend on the true judge. Let's go ahead and look at verse 11. It says, "Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge." Now, we've all heard, I'm sure, at some point in our life, someone say to us, or we've heard it said to someone else, "Don't judge me." Or, "Who are you to judge me?" Or perhaps we put it on God and say, only God can judge me. But oftentimes these phrases where we try to avoid judgment, if you will, are actually excuses that we've come up with to keep doing what we want to do. Jesus himself did say in Matthew chapter 7, the first verse, he says, judge not that you be not judged. And so there is this kind of just wrongful usage, actually, of these texts that Christians themselves have gotten really good at using to essentially say, I'm going to do what I want to do. Don't you dare judge me. I'm going to do what I feel is right in my heart, in my eyes, in my emotion. Don't you judge me. Who are you to judge? Only God can judge me. And I think that that's a real issue that I want to address here together today. When the point is discern biblically, what I'm trying to say is this. We can't lump in this idea of not judging one another with not confronting lovingly and graciously one another when something is amiss or something is not right. The Bible teaches us that we as believers should be able to discern what is wrong and what is right. And how do we do that? We have to look at the Word of God. We have to know the Word of God so that we can discern what is right and wrong. And so while we do not judge one another in a way where we try to elevate ourselves or put someone else down, we still must judge in the sense that we can discern what is right and wrong so that we can share truth in love. You know, there's a lot of examples that we could bring up. A lot of ways that even believers have really just been so infiltrated by the perspective of the world that we oftentimes will say, don't judge me, again, as a way to justify just continuing to live life as you please, apart from actually God's word, apart actually from his command. So I'm going to give you a couple examples. One thing is this, in the workplace. In the workplace, in your schools, wherever it might be, maybe even serving, working in the church, I think too often it becomes easy to trade biblical integrity for the sake of getting ahead. For those of us who are still in school, I'm sure that you can say cheating is one of the most rampant things in school. So as a believer, how can you discern biblically what you ought to do? Without judging those who are doing it, are you one who is in the Word, who knows the Lord, that you would be willing to confront a brother or sister in Christ? To let them know the truth that cheating is not something that's acceptable because everyone is doing it, but that's something that is wholly against God. You see, there's a way to bring about truth through discerning biblically without judging the other person. And I think that's something that we have to check in our hearts. We discern biblically, but not with the purpose of trying to say, ha-ha, I gotcha. The Bible says it's wrong, so you're doing that? You're wrong, you're bad. I'm good, I'm telling you that you're bad. It has to be about discerning biblically, and in your heart, you grieve. Why? Because you see a brother or sister in Christ living in a way that does not reflect the God that they profess to believe in. That they're not living in a way that is pleasing to God. Within the workplace, even as adults, things don't change, do they? There's temptation that comes to try to get ahead. To try to get that promotion, to try to get that position. And when that's the focus, we oftentimes get lost. We become like the world. We get kind of pushed by selfish ambition. Now, if you see someone living like that, a brother or sister in Christ, where you can just tell that that is just what they are living for, they are not having God in the picture, what would you do? Would you simply say, oh, there they are. Their work is totally their idol. That's what they're living for. They need Jesus. Or would you prayerfully, with love in your heart, go, discerning biblically, share with that person what the Word of God says? Another thing that's so accepted in this world, premarital sex. It's almost an accepted norm. Even in the body of Christ, there are people who believe that it's okay to engage in sexual activity before marriage. So how would you address that? Would you look at someone who's living in that kind of sin and say, well, at least I'm not doing that. I'm not living badly like they are. What does it look like to discern biblically? What does the Word of God say? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, it says, let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and the adulteress. It's the Word of God. And so do you weaponize that word and say, hey, you are sinners, you're bad, you're horrible for doing these things? Of course not, but if they are professing believers of Jesus Christ, we have to learn how to discern biblically and make a stand and say and speak truth in love, especially to those who call themselves believers of Christ. Now, that's kind of a key part, though. Remember that James is saying brothers. So he is writing to those who are professing to be believers in Jesus Christ. Now, if you were to go to a non-Christian couple, they'd be like, what are you talking about? Get out of here. Why would they have any reason to follow the law or the commands of the Bible that you believe in? If they don't have a relationship with the one true God, the one true judge, then they are living however the heck they want to. But we know that we cannot do that. And so we don't judge by putting down and saying, at least I'm not doing that, at least I'm better than them. We discern biblically and we go to those brothers and sisters in Christ. We don't worry and say, oh, they might feel judged. Oh, I don't want them to think that I'm, you know, there's so many things that are wrong in my life. I don't want them to think I'm a hypocrite. There's all kinds of things that we could come up with to not confront the matter at hand. But again, if you discern biblically, and there are people within the body of Christ that you care for and care about, we have to learn to reach them with the truth of God. But again, check your heart. Check your heart. May it not be ever to put someone else down, to raise yourself up, but so that God will be glorified. I hope that we can be a church like that. I hope that if we see people who are living apart from God but professing to be believers, that we would lovingly go to them, share the truth with them. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 to 16 says this, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So when James says, do not judge one another, he is not saying, do not biblically discern and judge what is right and wrong. He's saying in the attitude and the motive of your heart, may it be love that moves you to share the truth. May it be love that pushes you to confront. Even, and it's hard to do that, isn't it? It is hard to confront brothers and sisters in Christ with truth and love. But maybe there are some of us here who are being called to do that. Or maybe it's a deep conviction that we need to stop in whatever sin we may be involved with. So that, what we're going to talk about next, we can depend on the one true judge, which is God. The second thing is this, depend on the one true judge. Let's look at verse 12 together here. There is one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? So what is James telling us as believers to stay away from? We've talked about it a little bit, but what kind of judgment is James saying there's no room for within the body of Christ? Now, one way that we often do judge, really, it comes down to pride and sin in our hearts. We don't really care that someone is sinning. We care more that we can point that out and let them know that they're doing something wrong. There's some kind of selfish, prideful joy that can be taken when we esteem ourselves to be greater or on a higher level when we see people doing bad things. And James is saying there's no room for that within the church of Jesus Christ. Speaking critically of others, spreading negativity in a way that breaks down the church. There's no room for that. No, we must be building one another up. We must be speaking kindness and truth in love, discerning biblically, not trying to make ourselves look better or ourselves feel better or someone feel bad, but always trying our best to glorify God. So what does it mean to depend on the one true judge? It means leave that kind of judgment on others. There's only one person who can do that, and that's God. Why? Because it says here he has the power to save and to destroy. You see, at the end of the day, who were we? Who were we before we met Christ? There's a level playing field. Though we try to compare ourselves like this, me to that person, me to that person, when we compare ourselves rightfully to the one true judge and lawgiver, when we compare ourselves rightly to who God is, Romans 3 comes to mind that we all have fallen short of the glory of God. And so who are we to judge another? There's only one true judge, and that's God. When you learn to depend on him, we mustn't make it our own agenda to judge this person and that person for what they've done in the past, for what these people have done. No, but we are the ones who speak truth in love. We have to check our hearts. Are you depending on the one true judge? Is that relationship with the one true judge, with God, how does that impact you? When you find yourself judging another person, when you find yourself being judged by another person, what do you turn to? Who do you turn to in those times? Are you ready to fight because you want to justify yourself and say, I'm not actually that bad. Look at that person. You know, sometimes doesn't it work easily like that? We say, don't judge me. But we can so quickly say, okay, well, if you're saying I'm that bad, well, look at those guys. They're much worse than I am. Isn't it so easy for us to do that? We say, we don't want judgment, but it's so easy for us then to compare ourselves to another person so that we somehow try to feel better about ourselves. That's what God is saying there is no room for within the church. We build each other up. We love one another. We all fall short of the glory of God. By his grace, the one who has the power to destroy and to save has saved us who believe. I remember talking with one of my friends, and you know, he's a doctor, and he shared about a time that he had while working at the hospital where pretty much, you know, it seemed like once a week, this one man would come in, and he would try to get treatment. It was clear that he was in need, and he didn't have the proper insurance and all these other things, and so oftentimes the hospital, they would just try to send him away, but the doctors, you know, they wanted to care for people who were in need, and so they got together and said, hey, come on, is it okay if we treat this guy? And so they made a way to actually treat him, and this happened on a somewhat regular basis, but in trying to find out more about this guy, in trying to help him, my friend came across something that was very troubling to him about this man. And basically what he found out was that this man that they'd been treating and helping in his time of need and suffering was actually someone who was charged with pedophilia. And my friend told me, I still remember as he was sharing this, that something kind of changed in his mind. Now, he was a convicted pedophile, and when my friend learned this, you know, he had two daughters, you know, young daughters at the time. And I think even for myself now, as I have, you know, Caleb and a daughter on the way, I wonder if I had learned, and I was the doctor, if I had learned this truth about this person, this heinous thing that they have been convicted of, how that might have changed my heart, my thinking. Because they had been advocating for this guy so that they can treat this guy on a regular basis, fighting for treatment of this man who was in need. But the moment that he found out that this person had done wrong in his past, this horrible thing, he said he didn't want to do it anymore. He'd rather turn him away. Why would he treat this person who he now knows has this horrible wrong that they've committed in the past? Who knows? For all we know, he might still be out trying to do things now. And I was just so thankful for his transparency, for his vulnerability to share this, because he was sharing something that, if I'm honest, in my emotion, in my feeling, I agreed with. I was like, yeah, why would you treat this guy? He's not a good person. He's done something horribly wrong. But we got to depend on the true judge. See, God will take care of that. He has the power to save and to destroy. But for us, you know, I was so challenged. Could I still love and give treatment to someone who's in need despite what I now know about them? Or really, what would happen is I'm actually judging that person and saying, you're not worthy of my help any longer if I were to turn them away. Think about that. And it's a hard thing, isn't it? If someone has wronged you or even hurt you or someone that you love in some way, we cast immediate judgment and say, you're no longer worthy of my time. You're no longer worthy of my love. You're no longer worthy of what I can give. And God says, especially in the body of believers, maybe someone's wronged us. Or maybe we find out something horrible about someone's past within the body of Christ. Will we judge and belittle them or lower them? Or will we say, I depend on the one true judge. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to share God's love and grace. I'm going to do what I can to show the love of God, to show Christ to this person who is in need. Because that's what Jesus did for us. He did not come to judge and condemn us, but he came to save us. Romans 5:8 tells us it's while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, we may have different sins and struggles that are not as heinous in our minds when we compare outwardly with others. I've never murdered anyone. I've never done something like that. I've never committed adultery. I've never done these things. But what we deserved when we compare ourselves rightly to the one true judge, the one lawgiver, there are commandments that we have broken. And in his eyes, as God, who is the perfect judge, who is true and just, what we justly deserved was and is death, separation from God. And yet what he gave us instead was his love and grace. What he gave us instead of death was eternal life with him. And is it because we cleaned up our act and we made our way to God? No, it's because of his grace. He reached out to us. He gave to us his law. And so how do we obey? How do we not judge? We depend on him, the one true judge. Verse 12 is what we're going to conclude with here. It says, but who are you to judge your neighbor? And so James, what he's bringing up here is the idea of the greatest commandment that God gives to us as his people. The whole world is to love God, and then what? To love your neighbor as yourself. And so again, what James is doing is he's tying back everything to living for God. That if you are loving God and loving your neighbor as yourself, then there is not going to be judgment. You see, our relationship with God, it reflects in every area of our lives, whether we think about it or not. And how we view our families, how we treat our families, how we treat our friends, how we treat strangers on the street. But especially within the church, we must reflect the love of God, the love of Christ in our lives. We mustn't judge one another, but we must discern biblically and share truth when necessary. Learn to confront sin lovingly. Lovingly, that's the key. Let's learn to be a church like that. A church that discerns biblically. So we got to know the word, guys. We got to get into the word. I'm not saying you have to know every biblical trivia question that there is, but I'm saying, do you know the word of God? The heart of God that's showed so clearly in the pages. Discern biblically and depend on the one true judge. Let's pray together. Just take a moment to pray in response to the word. First, are you able to judge not others, but are you able to judge what is right and wrong? It's too easy to make the things that we want in life the right thing. Just whatever we want, yeah, that's the right thing. Whatever you feel, that's the right thing. Whatever your heart tells you, that's the right thing. And God says, no, discern biblically. Do you know the word of God? Do you know what it says about who he is and about who we are and how we should be living? Let's learn to get into the word. You just pray. Just take a moment to pray that God, would you help me and convict me to be committed to being in the word so that I can learn to discern biblically. That I would not try to discern with my own thinking and with the world's perspective, but with biblical perspective, even if it's countercultural, even if it's hard, that's what I'll do. You pray for that if you're a believer. The word of God is integral in the life that you live. And maybe for those of us who are believers, there is someone that God has put on our hearts, someone who's struggling, someone who's living apart from the commandments of God, though they claim to be Christians. And maybe he's putting on your heart to not judge them, but with God's grace, reach out to them in truth and love. So that God, the one true judge that we depend on, can change their heart and bring them back to a place where they are living for him. If that's you, pray right now. Pray that you would have the courage and the humility and the love to reach that person. If you're not a believer of Jesus Christ, God says he is the one true judge that can save or destroy. And I want to be clear here. If you're not a believer of Jesus Christ, you're not on the part of the saving. You're on the other part of destruction. But God does not want to destroy. He wants to receive you and save you from sin. He wants to forgive you of your sin. And he wants you to know what it means to depend on him. And that you can have peace knowing that you are saved because the one who has the power to save and destroy has saved you. Now, if that's you, if you're not a believer of Jesus Christ yet, no matter how young or how old you may be or how long you've been in the church, if you ever want to have a relationship with God, the one true judge, all you have to do is pray. And he will receive you. And you begin a new journey, a new life that's no longer about you, that's busy judging others and being judged by others and being defensive, but one that's filled with building up brothers and sisters in Christ, understanding his grace, God's grace, more and more each day. So just take one more moment to pray and then I'll close us. Lord, we thank you that you are the one true judge. But God, that you did not come to condemn, but you came to seek and save the lost. And that's what we all were. That's who we all were. But now we are found in you, for those of us who are believers, by your grace. So help us to be in your word that you give to us, that shows us what we ought to be like and live like. Change our hearts to be more like that. And help us to depend on you each day, not our own set of judgments, our own set of values, but biblical values, godly values that you give to us through your word. And may we as a church be filled with those building up the body of Christ. We thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We will now go into a time